Pastor, I'm just kidding. Let's stand. We're gonna try some new songs. Start introducing some more new songs. Page 16 in the hymnal. Yeah. I think I got it. I think Sam got it too. Well, you got it? 16. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace o'erflow. His lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train, who fill the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep distress, he flew to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. And carried all my grief. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys I have. He makes me triumph over death and saves me from the grave. And saves me from the grave. Not too bad. 44. Page 44. Two new songs. Yeah. That first one wasn't bad, so. 44.
O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come? When I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest, he bade me cease to roam, and lean for succor on his breast till he conduct me home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
Amen. Good singing. You may be seated.
Great singing, Renee. All right, Exodus. We're in Exodus. Laboratory, yep. The laver. Exodus 30. L-A-V-E-R, the laver, laborer. Which turned into lavatory. Which is like the laver is the sink. That's what it is in here. It's the wash basin. Exodus 30. So one thing to keep in mind as you go through this, all of these elements and pieces of furniture in the tabernacle have spiritual significance as far as being shadows and types and things like that. And so this is Exodus 30, verse 17. This is the laver, the laver, where we get the word lavatory. And I'll just read these couple of verses to you, and then we'll describe what is the significance of it. When Paul wrote Hebrews, or Apollos wrote Hebrews, whichever one, or whoever wrote it, Hebrews, they said the things that were set up in this sanctuary were sufficient for were good for cleansing of the flesh, but God was after, what he's after is the spirit, the cleansing of the heart. And so these are pictures, and these illustrations will carry through here in the New Testament. So we'll just read the actual physical piece of furniture here. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, his foot also of brass, to wash withal. Thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. Thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. A lot of these things, I'll just make note of this, a lot of things it says forever, and sounds like eternity, and it's every generation, because there comes a time where this doesn't happen, and so it's just be careful with some of the wording. So anyhow, this is the laver. It's the place they would wash, like I said, wash their hands, wash their feet, and they're expected to do that. And so I'm sure some of the priests got their ideas of washings and stuff like this from Moses, but got carried away with it. But anyhow, let's pray, and we're going to be talking about being cleansed with water, but we really want to show you how this gets applied in a spiritual way, because that becomes the chief application of this. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here this afternoon, and I pray that you would help us through some of these things that are some details and some history and some traditions and things that are foreign to us, but they're certainly carried out in your scriptures and explained and used as illustrations over and over again. And so I pray that you'd help us understand what we're reading, why it's here, and what the significance is going forward from here. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so just a couple things. This piece of furniture was to be set between the tabernacle and the door, just like the altar, the burnt altar, or altar where the sacrifice would be burnt. And so it would be something that the priests would have to do before they would enter into the sanctuary. They'd wash their hands and their feet, and even before they would handle the sacrifices and things like that. So, obviously, cleaning—that's the point: to be clean, to have some sanitation going on here, and that's good for the flesh. You know, it keeps the germs away and stuff like that. But there's more to this, as far as what's used to build this wash basin. You can look at it in Exodus 38, verse 8, I think it is, where the ladies put together their mirrors, and essentially this thing is built. It's built of brass, but the mirrors were a part of this, and somehow I guess they'd lined the inside with the mirrors, and it was reflective. And so some of this had to do with not only being clean, but knowing that you're clean and being able to see cleanness and even hands, feet, and seeing it in your clothes and stuff like that. So anyhow, they would put this thing together, and priests would use it for washing hands and feet. Now, that said, that it's very simple. It's a simple thing. It's not complicated. It's hygienic. It's simple layout here. But it has another meaning, or it has an illustration, it has a picture, a foreshadowing that's put into it, or a spiritual thing. And it reminds me of when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says, If I can't tell you about earthly things, then how in the world am I supposed to tell you about spiritual things? Because the things I have to relate spiritual things to are things you can see. And if you can't understand the things that I'm showing you just physically trying to explain these things, then there's no way you're going to be able to understand spiritual matters. Just like the parables. You know, the parables are, okay, I understand planting a seed. I get it. I understand the thorns. I understand all that stuff. And then he says, well, the seed's the word of God. This is a spiritual thing. This is where the hearts work. And so he's explaining spiritual matters through physical means. And this whole setup is that. That's what it is. It's explaining a lot of spiritual principles and relationship to God through these pieces of furniture and through this priesthood and sometimes these seemingly weird practices. And you just think, what are we doing? Well, here's this one. This one is washing, just being cleansed with water. Now, I'll ask you guys, you know, if you all here, so we'll make it participatory here. So in the New Testament, specifically the book of Ephesians, so Paul talks about being washed. What did you say? Okay, Joe got it. Washed with water by the word of God. And so this lavatory is going to be an illustration of the Spirit washing the person. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's washing the hands and the feet, where you go, what you do with your hands. So here's a couple of good illustrations or good cross-references to this. And it doesn't even start in the New Testament. It starts in the Old Testament. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Moses, the last words of Moses to the nation of Israel, he recounts the law and then he explains a lot of it. It just explains a lot of the spiritual back and forth of the spirit, the relationship of the people to God, and along with recounting the law. And so Deuteronomy chapter 32. Here's Moses. And keep in mind this thought. You've got water like, it's like the word of God. That's what it's going to be like. It's a cleansing agent. So Deuteronomy 32, Moses says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." He goes on to talk about he's a rock. Remember they got water out of the rock. And Paul would go on to say, and spiritualize that thing and say, you know, they all drank from the same spiritual rock. That was Christ. That's the Spirit at work here, the Spirit of Christ. So right off the bat here, Moses, he likens the words of God to water, to rain, to the cleansing and nourishing really effects of the rain upon the earth. And so that's an interesting correlation. But that's not the only place this happens. In fact, I'm going to go to the New Testament now. Look in John chapter 7. I'll give you a good one from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 7. So one of the reasons you get the Spirit of God called the Holy Spirit is because that's what he's characterized by. He's clean, holy. John chapter 7, verse 38. Right along with kind of what Moses said, what you'll read in a minute as well. Jesus says this, verse 38 is good. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus likens the Holy Ghost to water. And not only that, water of life, the water of life. Which is kind of interesting, because you get to Revelation and you've got this throne, and out of the throne issues this water of life. And so it kind of harkens back to what John records Jesus is saying here. So he likens the Spirit of God to living water. Living water. And there's that little parenthesis in verse 39 that explains it. So the Spirit is like water. How is it like water? Well, in our illustration, or in the typology in the sanctuary with the laver, it's a cleansing agent. The Spirit's a cleansing agent. So here's a couple things. You're in John. Just go forward a couple chapters to John chapter 15. Look in verse 3. Somebody said the other day, I don't know, I was mentioning Paul and how he had put together so well. He had put together just such a thorough documentation and explanation of Christianity in the book of Romans. And I guess the way I said it, it sounded like I was giving Paul, for this person, I think it sounded like I was giving Paul too much credit. And he said something like, well, the Holy Spirit had something to do with it. And it was, and I, it's like, yeah, he did. He wrote the scriptures that Paul's using. That's what he has to do with it. The words of God are authored by the Spirit of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, and then the Lord uses these personalities to put together the words of God. And here's what Jesus said about the words of God. That's, I guess, what I'm getting at with some of this stuff is, so sometimes you get this secondary idea, this idea of the secondary work of the Spirit, kind of like the Pentecostal idea where, you know, yeah, there's the Word of God, but then there's also this other stuff that you need. Like, the Word of God is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is how you know about Jesus Christ. This is how you get understanding of God. It's the work of God. The Spirit of God is in the words of God. So this is what Jesus says. Now, John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, cleans the person by the words of God. That's how they're cleaned up. In fact, Paul would reemphasize this. If you got it clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Okay. Look in Ephesians. I'll give you another one. And we're just running these cross references. And then I'll make one application at the very end here. Ephesians chapter 5. Joe got it. He got this one. Verse 20, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That is a spiritual version of what you just read in Exodus. Their washing of physical water, or they wash their physical body. This is washing the heart and the person, the soul. And so you're clean, being washed by the water of the word. Peter would say it as well. I'm just going through these cross references. Here's one more. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. So water cleansing, like the spiritual cleansing, a spirit cleansing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Peter says it this way. Seeing, now this is a whole context, and I mean you could literally start at the beginning of this letter, but I'm just going to jump in here. In verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. See, that's the purification process. Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there's the purifying effects. It purifies the soul. And what is it? It's the Spirit of God through the words of God. That's how the soul is purified. Now, I think you've seen a few cross-references here. I'm going to take you to one more place, but we're going to make an application here. Very similar to what we talked about this morning. But I remember as a kid, I was not a fan of taking baths. I am now, but I wasn't. And I didn't have too many friends that seemed to be, I mean, we're talking like 4 or 5 years old, you know, that seemed to enjoy this. So as a kid, when it was time to take a bath sometimes, little kid, I would go in the bathroom, I would run the water, so the water, you could hear the water running, and just sit down on the toilet or something with the water running, then turn it off, splash it around a little bit, and then drain it. Did he do that? Really? How old was he? He might have been like 8 years old. Oh, okay. Well, I was not that old. But that was what I did. I mean, go in there, turn on the water, you know, so people can hear. There's water running. It's on. But not take a bath. And so, consequently, it wouldn't be clean. You're not clean. Just having the water doesn't make you clean. Just being around the water doesn't make you clean. And it reminds me of what James says about this very thing. So last verse we'll go to, we'll make some application. James chapter 1 and verse 23. Actually, verse 21 for some context. And notice the description of this. It says, wherefore, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, just excess of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So let the word clean out the filthiness, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you can be around the water, you can be close to it, but if it's not cleaning you, if it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, then you just being around the water, it's just a recipe for deception, which that's exactly what I was doing with the bath. It was just deception. The whole thing was deception. But this problem is you're deceiving yourself. You think you're something that you're not because you're around the Bible, the words of God. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That was kind of like what they were doing with the laver and the tabernacle. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So just self-deception, incredible self-deception, which we are very capable of doing. Whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You could say this man will be. This is clean. This is what clean looks like. He gets the words of God. They're applied to him, just like Peter says, you've obeyed the word and to the sanctifying of your soul, things like that. And so this one is a warning about just being around the words of God and deceiving yourself because maybe you feel like you know it, but it's not really doing anything for you. So all through here, you got the Spirit's like water. It cleans like water. It cleans like water. And the expectation is, just like with the priest, the Lord says, make a laver, put it out in between the sanctuary and the door. And the expectation is not that people are going to walk past it, the priesthood specifically, not that the priest is going to walk past it and just acknowledge that, yeah, we have a wash basin. They're going to wash themselves in it. That's the purpose of it. Just like the words of God, the purpose of it is not just, yeah, we got it. Here it is. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, we're rah-rah the Bible. No, it's get the words of God and have them change what needs to be changed, have them clean up what needs to be cleaned up, and to take the bath, you know, to wash the hands and wash the feet and things like that. And so this is, there's other verses, but this is sufficient. You understand the analogy that's made in the Old Covenant, the analogy that's being made. It's a real thing. They're expected to do that. The priesthood was expected to do that. Yeah, if they didn't do that, they would die. It's true. All those things are true, and while being true, they are a picture of something else that's God's going to expect and God's going to do, and really, kind of at the time was already sort of doing, as Moses talks about. So, anyhow, cleansed with water, and the water like the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, used to clean through the words of God. That's the point. So. Hope that's helpful. Just some more furniture in Exodus, but I hope it's helpful to see some of these analogies and what God's doing with these analogies. So let's pray. And what's up? Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Oh, Sam looked like he was trying to say something. All right, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here, and pray you'd help us with these things that we read about. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're just